and go to Winterland and Fillmore and all the other venues and set up a clinic in a little room, and we saw.
Hello. You are listening to FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. This is Ken Logan. And if you stay tuned to this station in a couple minutes, you're going to hear the Doctor's Inn. And I tell you what, while I'm getting ready for that, I'm going to play you a song, The Doctor, by Loudon Wainwright III. Let's see if I can pull that up.
They were like, oh, man.
Okay, here we go. I'll be right back.
Ruined it. It's just commercialized now. But the quality of the drugs was in large part due to Augustus Stanley Owsley III. Who is the Owsley of Owsley Acid.
Yes.
I would also remind you that in 1967, LSD was legal.
I went to the doctor, and the doctor said loud, you got to stop hanging out.
And as a matter of fact, that old it was an injectable drug made by Sandoz, Albert Hoffman.
Yes.
You could purchase.
Yes.
And the package inserts the doctor said, boy, your body is a temple. Under controlled circumstances,
it's not a toy.
So the clinicians could gain
fill up
an
this
insight
paper
into
cup
the
and give it to the
world
nurse.
Of their schizophrenic patients.
Don't
you know,
now,
being LSD and schizophrenics just doesn't seem like a good
said,
idea.
Friend,
this all right.
Should be
next
the middle,
week,
but it could be the end.
We're going to have a little set.
Better get better.
I look forward to that.
Or else you're going to get worse.
Augustus Stanley Owsley III was a descendant senator, a big politician from Tennessee. And basically had a lot of money. So he was independently wealthy. His nickname is
Bear. We got back the X-ray.
So when you look at
everything's
all
a blur.
Merch,
this all positive.
Artwork,
that's
cetera,
what every single test
of
shows.
The great dad. You see all these little bears.
All
that's where that
doctor
comes
said,
from.
Said, kid, it
you're
was something that you hate and right. It's something that you did. And it's all in your
brilliant
head.
Brilliant sound engineer.
It's spreading on down to your toes.
And he's the one who did the sound for the Grateful Dead.
Yeah.
And Quicksilver and several other groups. Just a brilliant, brilliant man. And so he was both sound engineer and buyer of LSD. The script line, I wouldn't be overly surprised to find that occasionally there have been samples of LSD. Did in fact really have strychnine in them. I have never seen that. And just from a sales standpoint, knowing very well what both those drugs do to a person.
I apologize for those mixed sounds. I'm not sure exactly how to.
Everybody does.
You wish that.
Thank you for clarifying that. Wong, certainly.
Pick up some of these.
Howard, after we're out of time. I'm sorry to say, but you know, I thank you for giving us a much needed break from our constant discussions of COVID-19. And we need to have you come on again real soon.
That's just about all. You owe me $300, and you can call me.
I should. This really can't be a note that I should ask you before we leave. How much we.
And on the Doctor's Inn, I like to cover subjects of health and or medical subjects that I think you of the listeners will be interested in hearing about, and maybe having a guest on about that. That's what I usually do. And so what I'd like to do is know what you, the listener, would like to know about and would like me to present on the Doctor's Inn. And if you wanted to connect with me, give me a message that is about a subject that you would like me to cover on the Doctor's Inn, health or medical related, a way to contact me would be to email me. And my email address is K, that's the letter K, klogan, MD, at yahoo.com. That's klogan, MD, at yahoo.com. I need to tell you that the opinions voiced on this program do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of KZFR, its staff, volunteers, board of directors, or underwriters. Speaking of underwriters, the Doctor's Inn is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Friends of the Arts, your state local partner to the California Arts Council. Since 2001, Friends of the Arts have been creating economic opportunity by producing and supporting events and publishing a bi-monthly arts and culture newsletter. To stay in the know or have your event listed, visit friendsofthearts.com, I believe. It might be friendsoftheart.net. And by Baird Roofing Company, for a whole new roof or a whole... for a hole in your roof or a whole new roof. Baird Roofing Company has been serving Butte County for more than 30 years. Whether it's re-roofing an existing structure or a first-time roof for new construction, Baird Roofing has got you covered. More information at BairdRoofingCo.com. And Baird is B-A-I-R-D. And Co is C-O. So BairdRoofingCo.com. .com and at 342-1631. Right now I'm going to go to a little music. Let's see. Let's go to Dear Doctor. Dear Doctor is a Rolling Stones song. And then I'm going to get a guest on the line. And who that will be is Kim Vickers. She has a master's in gerontology with a focus on vocalization and communication and is an author of a book called Voc Aerobics, V-O-C Aerobics. And Kim is going to talk to us today about some of the therapies she does or the work she does with the elderly, including music and other things, how she helps the elderly in Chico, California. The second half of the show, I will have that will be at 6:30. I will have Susan Bertozzi, a person who has her master's level in marriage and family therapy. She's a practicing therapist in Chico, but she has an interesting angle on helping with therapy for the well-being, emotional and health, other elements of health, but emotional well-being of patients that have to do, and the area of interest that we're going to talk about today is nutritional, something called neuronutrient therapy. But first I'm going to have Kim Vickers, but I got to get you a song going so that I can dial up Kim Vickers. Okay, hang on a sec. Here we go. Let's listen to some music. I hope.
Dear Doctor, take one, right.
Oh, help me, please, Doctor, I'm damaged. There's a pain where there once was a heart. It's sleeping, it's beating. Can't you please take it out and preserve it right there in that jar? Oh, help me, please, Mama, I'm sickening. It's today, that's the day I'm to plunge. Oh, the gal I'm to marry is a bull-legged sow. I've
soak in a drink like a sponge. Don't you worry, get dressed, cry my mother. As you fly me with bourbon so sour. Pull your socks up, put your suit on.
Okay, let's see if we have Kim Vickers on the line. Kim, can you hear me?
I can hear you, Ken.
So,
can you hear me?
Okay, do that again.
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, I think I can hear you now. All right.
Ready.
Let me see if I can get you up. How are you doing today?
I'm doing really good. How about yourself?
Well, you know what? I'm not getting the... I'm not sure I can hear you loud enough.
iPhone.
Say that again.
I've got your speakerphone on my iPhone.
And are you listening to the radio?
Yeah, I've got it.
Let me have you turn that down or off.
Yeah, I'll turn it off and see if.
Because I'm hearing a ring.
Okay.
Good.
All right.
Are you there?
I'm here.
Okay.
Alrighty,
I'm
going
to have to turn my volume down. Okay, go ahead. How are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Shoot. So your radio's off, by the way?
My radio's off.
All right.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can, but I'm hearing a scratching sound occasionally.
Hmm.
Let me see. Let's turn that off. All right. Kim Vickers.
Yes. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Is the scratching gone?
No, we're getting a scream every now and then.
Let me take this. Does that help any?
Hello?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Ooh, that's better.
Okay, I turned the speaker off.
Oh, good. Oh, okay. Excellent. I think that's better.
Okay.
I'm still getting a noise.
Then you're not picking up all that other extra sound.
Hope so. You have your master's in gerontology with a focus on vocalization and communication. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yeah, I went back to school when I was 50 after working with singers for about 25 years, and I thought, well, I think I need to get that master's degree now. So I put together an interdisciplinary program at Chico State. And finally got my master's degree.
And vocalization and communication, I heard you say. Is that correct?
Yeah, that was my thesis project. I created a vocal exercise for seniors. I work primarily in assisted living homes and dementia care homes and independent seniors. So my focus has always been in working with the elderly.
And so I
play music and I sing and I interact with residents on very different levels with each person because we're not all the same, especially when it comes to long-term care and taking care of our elderly people who are sick and have suffered various diseases, going through strokes or dementia. So I was able to create a vocal program that connected everybody all in one group.
Say that one more time. A program that what?
A program that connected everybody. So basically my vocal aerobics program was getting people together to do basic vocal exercise. A singer do on the piano. And getting a group of people together, and they're all in different places in their lives, in these senior homes. You know, some are what they would call lower functioning, where they can't communicate well, or maybe can say one or two words, all the way up to really high functioning people who may be in a wheelchair for, you know, be there for a different reason. So this program brought everybody together, because communication through music brings people together. Music is universal.
And then you did some, you do some, not only music with the elderly in care homes, but also some, there's a little animal you bring with you, is that correct?
There is, and I have been working in senior homes for over 30 years. Last year marked my 30th year of doing this, and I have always had a dog at my side, because I learned early on that everybody responds well to animals. And I did research on pet therapy and the benefits of animals with seniors, and actually animals benefit all of us. But bringing in my little dog into these homes would just brighten the day for so many people. You know, I bring my dog Poppy into work, and you just see the smiles. It's like contagious. When she walks through the room, everybody starts to smile. And then the sensory aspect of having pets too, you know, being able to pet a little warm, fuzzy animal just makes everybody feel good.
Ooh, I never even thought about that aspect of it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and for a lot of people, what I do when I bring my dog in is I will ask somebody to be the pet sitter for the day or for the afternoon, and then they'll watch my dog for me, and that gives them a sense of responsibility and a sense of purpose, because they've got my little dog Poppy on the leash, and they're in charge of her.
I think that sounds wonderful, and I want to hear more about that. I want the listeners to hear more about that. Can you describe, for the listeners who haven't been at a care home, let's say, mm-hmm. would you kind of describe what life might be like there, and then continue on with how the pet and your singing and your music mm-hmm. can, like you said, brighten their day?
Yeah. Well, when I go into, let's say, a nursing home, I walk in the door, and it's the nursing homes today were designed initially as healthcare hospitals for the elderly. So it's really kind of a sterile setting, and there's not a whole lot going on unless there's an activity. People are just sitting around. In fact, the first nursing home that I worked there for 9 years, people would be lined up in the hallway just sitting there across from the nurse's station, not doing anything. And of course there are homes today that they keep their residents active and do things, but when I first saw that, I thought, my gosh, there's so many things that they could be doing, and they could be doing things with purpose. And so when I saw these people just sitting around doing nothing, I just thought, and I've always loved the elderly, I thought, I think I can do something for these people. So I applied for a job. I got it instantaneously. I don't know. I had a degree in theater before I went into gerontology.
Oh.
And I started doing my creative dramatics and getting them to act and to speak to each other. And really, basically, Ken, it's all about communication And music is communication, as you well know.
Yeah,
you
tell know, us a tell us a little bit about that.
Memories.
Tell us
people that that haven't heard songs in years. You know, and we're tapping into who they are as a human being, because we all grow up with music. And as the years pass, of course, the music changes. And we want to kind of gear the music toward the people that live there, because, you know, I'm sure everybody listening today can relate to a song that has changed their lives, or relate to a whole genre of music that just makes them feel good and brings up good memories. And so that form of communication and bringing up all of those wonderful memories through music really allows us to enjoy our memories and to connect with other people who may have similar experiences.
And do you witness that when you sing for these people in these care homes and nursing homes? Tell us about what you witness.
I have a story that I wanted to share with you about a woman that I had when I was in Alameda. Her name was Phyllis. And this was at a nursing home in Alameda. And Phyllis came in after a severe stroke. And she was able to, after some therapy, she was able to push herself around in the wheelchair. But she was crying all the time. She was crying. And not a happy person. And so I thought, gosh, what am I going to do for Phyllis? So I researched her history, and I contacted, she didn't have much family left, but I found out that Phyllis had been a dancer in New York City. She had been a Rockette. And so I started the Rockettes.
Yeah,
in New
the
York.
Rockettes, uh-huh.
And I started pushing Phyllis around in the hallways and singing, and she started singing.
Wow.
This is a woman who could hardly utter one word. She would cry, and she could say no.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, I'm pushing this woman down the hallway, and she's singing with me.
Wow.
Old songs from her generation, you know, like Ain't She Sweet and Blue Moon and, you know, songs of the mm-hmm. 40s. And all of a sudden, you know, after a few weeks, she was smiling and she was singing. And she had, because she was a Rockette, she had these long, beautiful legs.
Wow.
And we would sit in the chair, and we'd get the other residents to line up and sit in a chair in a line, and we would do kicks. And, of course, Phyllis had the highest kicks. But we were incorporating music and communication and dance and, you know, all of those wonderful, wonderful things that were happening. And I think Phyllis wound up living there for 4 years, and she was one of the most outgoing residents we had. You know, she couldn't carry on a complete sentence or a conversation, but she could sing to the people. So I would ask her to sing or to dance with everybody. And, I mean, it just turned her around in such a positive way.
The music, and you with the music tapped into an area of her brain, didn't you? And stimulated it.
You know, the music taps into the neurotransmitters in the brain, not on one side of the brain, not only on the frontal lobe, but music touches so many different areas of who we are and how our brain works, so that the neurotransmitters connect almost throughout the entire brain when you listen to music.
Wow. How beautiful. How beautiful to hear that story.
Yeah, she was a special lady, and I was very proud of what we did with her.
And then, I had another. Oh, go ahead. Uh-huh.
Oh, I was going to tell you, I had another lady, Jessie, who had a stroke as well. And she was a big, heavyset black lady, and she loved to sing. And she would let me know if I hit a wrong note or if I wasn't singing something the right way. So I asked her if she would help me be the singing coach for everybody.
Wow.
And so Jessie, when she first came there, she could only sing like toot, 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 toot. And she would correct me even though she couldn't sing the song.
Uh-huh.
But by the end of it all, she was helping me lead, and she would be up there like a big orchestra leader, moving her arms and eventually singing all these old gospel songs wow. with the whole group.
Wow.
And you can imagine what that did for her, but also what it did for all the people in the room, you
right.
know? Just to see her in her ability to perform and to get other people to engage totally empowered her. And then the other people in the room were having a ball because they were able to sing and join in. It just brings people together, and it gets us all to communicate and find a common thread that we can all find joy and happiness.
I have seen that with you. Just to let the listeners know, that's how I met Kim Vickers. The guest right now is as she performed music at a care home where my mother was a client, and that's how I met Kim. So I witnessed that with my mother as well, how she would love the music. Excellent. Yep. Wow.
And, you know, Ann, Ken's mom, was just a special lady. And she had a seat in the room when I came in to sing with my dog. And Ann was always, like, one of the first ones there, and she would find her spot. And she always wanted to know if Ken was coming. and she would join in, but she just had a true appreciation
she
for
truly,
the music.
She absolutely
did. And I think
did.
That must be where you get a lot of that from, because Ken is also a musician, and we have a great time playing guitars together.
Yes, when I bring my guitar.
When you bring your guitar.
Hey,
or your trumpet.
I'm envisioning how the looks on the faces of the people, let's say Tuesday, when we played mm-hmm. there. The describe to the listeners, I think maybe you have already, but it's hard to put it to words, the looks on the faces and the mm-hmm. the appreciation that you get as a musician, not only verbally, but just from mm-hmm. the looks on their faces. And like you said, how they sing, how they brighten up. You said the word brighten, and that's a word I wanted to use too. You brighten their day. You brighten mm-hmm. their existence just with yeah. something simple like that. And like you said, you tap into songs that for them that they remember from decades ago. Mm-hmm. It's wonderful to see.
Yeah. When we actually, when Ken and I are at Townsend House, we're on outside the dining room on the front porch, and they're inside the dining room eating or getting ready for lunch. But I always have to peek my head in the window to see how they're looking, and you can just see the smiles, and they're all looking toward the window, waiting on the songs to begin. And then I've seen some of them clapping and tapping their feet and giving thumbs up signs, and I can just see that we're bringing joy to them
right.
with this music.
Well, Kim Vickers, I thank you very much for being a guest on the show today, and I thank you so much, and I am appreciative as a community member and a human being. I'm thanking you for what you do for all those people at the care homes and the convalescent hospitals where you perform, and tell me your dog's name again.
And Poppy.
Poppy. You and Poppy. And thank you, Poppy, too. Poppy, the dog, if you're listening.
I'll give the dog a bone.
There you go. Okay, Kim,
thank you
very much.
I really enjoyed talking to you, and just everybody out there, if you're listening, I recommend that play your favorite music every day through this COVID-19 pandemic. Try to put 30 minutes to the side to just listen to your favorite music and let it take you someplace else. It's very healing.
That's a good point during this time of lockdown. Excellent advice.
All right.
All right. Thanks. Thanks again, Kim Vickers.
You're welcome. I'll talk to you soon.
All right.
I'll be playing with you soon.
All right. Take care.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye. All right. So now let me turn that off. What I'm going to do is try to get another song on here. Let's listen to this song again, if I can get that to play. And I'm going to get our second guest on the phone while you're listening to some music.
Okay. Dear Doctor, take one. Right.
Oh, help me, please, doctor, I'm damaged. There's a pain where there once was a heart. It's sleeping, it's beating. Can't you please take it out and preserve it right there in that jar? Oh, help me, please, mama, I'm sickening. It's today. Been soaking up drink like a sponge. Don't you worry, get dressed, cry my mother, as you fly me with bourbon so sour. Pull your socks up, put your suit on, comb your long hair down, for you will be wet in the hour. Doctor, I'm a damage. There's a pain where there once was a heart. I'm sleeping, it's a beating. Can't you please take it out and preserve it right there in that jar? All right. Oh, help me, dear doctor. Sharp as a knife. I put the ring in my pocket, but there was a note, and my heart jumped right into my mouth. It read, "Darling, I'm sorry to hurt you. I've no courage to speak to your face."
Well, hello again. This is Dr. Kenneth Logan. Why am I getting that feedback? Huh. And you're listening. This is Dr. Ken Logan, and you're listening to the Doctor's Inn. That's the radio show I'm doing. And on the line, I have the second guest for the second half of the show. Her name is Susan Bertozzi. She has her master's level in marriage and family therapy. She's a therapist in private practice in Chico. And the interesting thing that she's going to talk to us about has to do with nutrition relative to the brain and relative to emotional well-being. So I'm going to try to get her on the line right now. Susan, are you on the line?
Yes, I am. Hi, Ken.
Oh, there we go. How in the world? I guess I did it. I hope it doesn't scream at us.
This radio in the days of COVID.
Yes, and this is what we call live radio.
Yes.
So we get to make mistakes in everything.
There's no bleeps to bleep it out.
No. So I'm going to turn my mic down as I turn the mic over to you, and hopefully that'll help us not get that sound.
Okay.
And what I would like to have you do is to tell us a little bit about yourself and your training, and then we just got to hear about neuronutrient therapy relative to a patient's well-being, emotional well-being, and their brain function. Talk to us. Tell us about it.
Well, okay, so much to say, but I started in the mid-90s once I completed my master's degree working in the schools. And at that point, a lot of children were getting diagnosed with ADD or ADHD, attention deficit disorder, or ADD with hyperactivity. I would sometimes see kids that were so over-medicated that they literally were like zombies. And I would also see kids that seriously needed some help, and their parents refused to put them on medication. So at that time, I was reading how there was increased serotonin in the bloodstream after eating certain foods, and I had had an interest in nutrition for decades at that point. And so I launched into several fields of study. I was living in Boulder, Colorado. I spent 3 years, became a certified clinical herbalist, trying to see, can we find plant medicine? I wanted to find alternatives for ADD meds for kids, for parents that were looking for that. I did another 3-year training in classical homeopathy, and I was doing all my prerequisites for a nutrition master's degree when a woman named Julia Ross rolled into town, and she had completed a book called The Mood Cure. And The Mood Cure basically helps us analyze 5 different brain chemistry areas. So we're looking at 5 different neurotransmitter areas of the brain and what specific nutrients we can give someone to basically build that neurotransmitter in their brain. So it started in the field of addiction and is still used in the field of addiction, but it's also used widely now for depression, anxiety, attention disorders, insomnia, grief, crying. So I just became really fascinated with it and knew that's exactly what I was looking for in terms of a treatment modality to help people have an alternative to psych meds for people that were looking for that. So there's a nutshell for you of how I came upon this.
And how long ago was that for you?
Well, that started in 1994. In 2010, I ended up moving out to California early in 2000. And in 2010, Julia Ross held her first ever training of practitioners in neuronutrient therapy, and so I jumped into her very first training group. And we had, I think, about 5 physicians in the group, some acupuncturists. I was one of just a couple of marriage family therapists or social workers, but I just really had that interest in the mind-body connection. And it was, the training was wonderful. And so that's when I really started working with it more extensively, was back in 2010.
I'm happy to hear you say there were some physicians in there.
Yeah, most of them are in the Bay Area. One was actually a psychiatrist, and the other 4 were like family physicians that are working with this modality.
Tell us more about the science of it, and then how you see that in your practice, utilization of such in your practice.
Yeah, okay.
Is that all right with you?
So there's actually over 40 years of research where they're able to determine what specific protein molecules. So when we're talking protein, we're talking amino acids, and we know there's 22 different amino acids. Amino acids are the building blocks for our body, and so we know what specific amino acid helps the body make more serotonin or more catecholamines, and I can explain each of these areas. So
catecholamines and serotonin are?
Different brain neurotransmitters, basically signals to the brain to help us feel better.
So they're chemicals that are required for these brain cells to work, is that correct?
And they impact our mood. A lot of people have heard of serotonin because a lot of your antidepressant drugs are working on serotonin receptor sites. And what we're doing with neuronutrient therapy is we're actually giving the client a specific protein, a specific amino acid that helps the body make more serotonin. And when I open a capsule or I give a client a chewable capsule, it takes 3 to 5 minutes for them to actually feel a difference from it. And it can be pretty dramatic sometimes. I've had teenagers that can't stop smiling when I give them the serotonin nutrient. Remember, one teenager said, it's like Disneyland. But it's pretty dramatic to watch people suddenly feel that happy just from getting a nutrient that their body absorbs that quickly through the mouth, you know.
So in your case, with your practice, you're able to take this to a practical level and and work with clients directly. Wow.
Yeah, yeah. And so it's I use a symptom questionnaire that helps me identify these five different brain chemistry areas. And when we're looking at, say, the serotonin area of the brain, we're looking at do people maybe have kind of a negative or pessimistic outlook, the way they look at life? Do they have a lot of worry, anxiety, obsessive thoughts or obsessive behaviors? Seasonal affective disorder, that serotonin is very tied into the sun. And so a lot of people that get really gloomy in the dark, you know, winter months or dark days are low serotonin. And we tend to see that like up in climates like in Seattle or Portland, areas where there isn't a lot of sunshine. Irritability, you know, perfectionism, controlling. This is like an anxious, irritable kind of depression. People might have migraines. TMJ can actually be associated, temporomandibular jaw issues can be associated with low serotonin, as can fibromyalgia. And when people are low serotonin, they'll tend to get these cravings for sugar or starch in the afternoon or evening, because what happens as the sun goes down, our serotonin levels will start to dip. And so that's the other thing we're looking at. Like, are you kind of feeling okay throughout most of the day? But once we get to the afternoon or evening, you know, you start really craving sugar, starches, or we move into happy hour, nice low serotonin time of the day where people want their alcohol. Then as it gets dark, our serotonin will convert to melatonin. And so if people don't have adequate serotonin, we'll often see sleep issues, either difficulty with sleep onset or insomnia, waking up in the middle of the night, having a hard time, you know, getting back to sleep. So, you know, that's the serotonin area of the brain, pretty much. Do you want me to go on and explain the others? Or do you want to ask me any questions about that?
Well, I just thought you were you were talking about the evening sugar and some sleep issues. I thought, wait a minute. Are you talking about me? How did you know to talk about me on the air? I think it'll be great to hear some more about the other areas and the other neurotransmitter thing you were talking about.
Okay.
That'd be great.
Well, and what you're saying is really quite true, Ken. So many people will show you know, symptoms of low serotonin. So it's I see it almost across the board with people coming in. And, you know, I'm also doing a full health history before I go into looking at the neurotransmitters, because in most cases there's a genetic predisposition, and we can see, you know, that one of their parents tended to be depressed or tended to be anxious, you know, or had insomnia issues. So, you know, having that family history is often really helpful to know. And if it doesn't come genetically, our neurotransmitters get low from stress, and poor diet and drug and alcohol abuse will also deplete them. And there's just, like I say, every area has addictions associated, right? So some people, if it's not the alcohol during the happy hour, they might turn to, you know, pot, marijuana, or they might, cigarettes might be something that helps them feel better later in the day. There's, you know, there's different drugs that people might turn to as a way to self-medicate this brain deficiency that's going on for them.
And let me ask you something. Mm-hmm. you know, the discussion, the things that you're telling me and that you studied and now you're telling me about and that you utilize with at least part of the therapy that you do with your clients, It makes sense to me, and I the thought that was hitting me in my brain a few seconds ago was, well, why doesn't this lady teach medical students? You know, why is this a realm of subject matter that we in medical school could hear about and potentially utilize if we chose to, amongst all the other things we learn about? Don't you know, we learn about medications. We don't learn about the physiology of the brain that relates to the diagnoses that we're making on our clients, and the even those things you were talking about as far as genetics and family history and how those can directly relate to physiologic function that you talk about, and then and then what to do about it.
Right.
I'm talking on and on and on, and this is not supposed to be my talking thing.
Well, no, but what you're saying is really relevant, and you know, I don't know all the ins and outs, but I know that that pharmaceutical companies can't patent natural substances, right? So, I mean, part of it is having some double-blind, placebo-controlled studies, right? And then who's going to fund that? Because you can't really, you know, make a lot of money off of it. But there are studies, and there are there's more efforts, you know, underway to try to get some studies published, you know, in JAMA or different medical journals. And, you know, one of the ongoing projects is to get us to track our own results with clients so that we can be part of, you know, a big study. Of course, we're all so busy that it's not very easy to do right now.
You bring up a good point. You know, the issue of these natural amino acid products, et cetera, that you talk about not being able to be
profit.
Yeah, the pharmaceutical industry cannot profit on those. They can't be, what's the word, they can't, they're not a proprietary thing that they can make money on, so they don't. Then all the money goes into serotonin uptake inhibitor prescription medications instead.
Mm-hmm. Right,
and,
yeah.
Oh, wow. Ooh, what a thought.
You know, there's a study in Julia Quotes in the Mood Cure book, a study by Eli Lilly, where I think it was Prozac. They found a 150% improvement in depressive symptoms when they gave someone Prozac. But when they gave them, in addition, 5-hydroxytryptophan, which is called 5-HTP, they found a 615% improvement in the depressive symptoms. So, you know, what I was told in my training, that in Europe they'll sometimes use the combination. I try to be really careful since I'm not a physician, and I have my clients, if they're on any kind of a psych med, I have them talk with their doctor about it, make sure that it's only one so we're not overcomplicating the picture here, and then talk to their doctor about taking one of these amino acid supplements 4 to 5 hours away from when they're actually taking the medication. One of the things also that Julia Ross talked about in our study was that they didn't even realize people had side effects when they were withdrawing from psychiatric medications because they were using the amino acids and they weren't seeing the side effects people were withdrawing, right? It's pretty interesting. Here's the other really interesting thing about it is that over time, there seems to be an upregulation of the receptor sites, which means you need less and less of the amino acid as time goes on, and then you don't need it anymore.
Upon utilizing the supplemental amino acids,
right,
like you're talking
about? It seems to restore the deficient brain chemistry. And so the second part of this, though, is then also working with people on their diet and to make sure they're getting the vitamins and the minerals that are really important cofactors that go along with these proteins.
What are cofactors? Tell the listeners what cofactors are. What that means, I mean.
So cofactors are basically things that have to work together in the body, right? In order for the body to make serotonin, it needs an amino acid called L-tryptophan, but it also needs vitamin C, and it also needs niacin, vitamin B3, and it also needs magnesium. So we need all of these things together in order to feel better. So making sure people are on a good multivitamin, a good multimineral, And once I start working with people with the amino acids, then I want to make sure they're eating a good diet, because the idea is you're not taking pills forever, and you're going to be getting this now from your diet moving forward to sustain it, right, to sustain the brain chemistry. Does that make sense?
It totally makes sense. And it and again, it of course, my brain is saying, dadgummit. I'm towards, you know, I've been doing medicine for 35 years, and I wish this had been part of my training.
Yeah. Well, my understanding, Ken, is that nutrition hasn't been, in you know, historically part of medical training, because I don't think there was the recognition that nutrition really would make a difference, because the idea was our genetics, and we have to focus on the disease. But once they transcribe the human genome, we realize that our lifestyle choices and nutrition actually can really make a difference in whether those genes turn on or off, right?
Right.
So now nutrition is a critical component, a recognized critical component of our, you know, physical health and our mental, emotional health.
But we still don't learn it that way.
Uh-huh.
You know, yeah. the level of, or the way and the place that diet and nutrition has in medical school, at least in my medical school, mm-hmm. Was more
35
of
35 years ago.
Yes, many years ago, gray hair, currently, was simply the basic, you know, basic nutrients. It did not get into the roles that nutrition play in the myriad of medical conditions that we were studying,
right.
Nor as as part of the therapy, et cetera. It just wasn't part of it. Basic. Yes, but not as part of the, not like you've been describing, and it just brings my brain back, my thoughts back to that same issue. You know, I will tell you, a lot of the medical education that we receive as medical students, and to this day, when we have our continuing, we doctors, in order to keep a license, I have to have 25 hours just for the license alone. Per year in continuing medical education. Well, what? How do we doctors get those hours of continuing medical education? Let me tell you that many of those hours are funded by pharmaceutical companies.
Right. Yeah.
It's not by our health food store. It's not by
right.
you know. Uh-huh. Chico Natural Foods isn't able to
provide you that,
you know. So,
well, we could get me, you know, maybe I could qualify for your CEs.
There you go. So it's just part of our structure of our healthcare in this country.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of, it's unfortunate. It makes me wonder how physicians are trained, and if nutrition is a little bigger and more of an active role in care, learning, mm-hmm. and then care in countries like Cuba. I was just thinking about a small country like Cuba. You know, they have, I think the dollar isn't the thing that drives the industry there. So anyway, mm-hmm. I was just thinking
about that. Yeah, I mean, the focus, it's like always, how do we get below the symptoms? Like, what's the root? What's really going on? You know, and how do we support the organism, the body, to basically have the fuel it needs to function optimally? I mean,
how dare
when
you
take anatomy
like
classes,
that.
It is amazing, and physiology classes, how complex our bodies are, and the fact that they even work is amazing to me, right? So if we're not giving the fuel that these very complicated bodies need, I mean, how can we possibly be at our peak health?
Exactly. I tell you, I'm gonna want to talk with you more about this in the near future, and potentially have you back on the air,
mm-hmm.
If you don't mind. I think it would be good if we kind of wound down now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's getting towards the top of the hour.
Yes. Yeah, so there's four more areas to tell you about. So is that going to be a to be continued?
I can hear a radio show. I can hear it. I just know.
Okay.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And I appreciate you sharing your knowledge with us. We, the me and the listeners here in Chico. And thank you so much in the future when you're on the show again, I hope.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thanks for having me on, Ken. I would love to share with the other areas because it could be really helpful information for people that are looking for things. One of the areas helps with like the opioid type of addiction, which is a really important brain chemistry area as well.
There you go.
Okay. That's a teaser for a future.
Okay. Excellent. All right. Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Take
and I'll
care.
Be
Have
talking to you later. Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Wow. That was Susan Bertozzi, a Chico marriage and family therapist with and has a specialty in neuronutrition, which is very interesting. Okay, we'll have her back on the show in the future. Okay, and then prior to that, we had Kim Vickers, and I thank her too. She has her degree, master's in gerontology, and she's a musician and serves relative to music and with her little dog. She brightens the day of elderly in care homes and convalescent hospitals in our town, Chico, California. I'm going to tell you now that this is the Doctor's Inn, by the way. And the Doctor's Inn is made possible by the You want to come in? Oh, letting somebody in. Sorry about that. Whoa, I don't know why I'm getting this feedback. So the Doctor's Inn is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Dr. Mac, that's M-A-C, your traveling Apple products expert. Dr. Mac trains you to maximize all your Apple oh, there we go. That's better. Okay, Dr. Mac. Oh, you're traveling Apple products expert. Dr. Mac, that's M-A-C, trains you to maximize all your Apple products, assisting with setup, data transfer, troubleshooting, and repairs, including critical updates and malware removal. Kevin Mallory is actually Dr. Mac, M-A-C, quote, the technical doctor who still makes house calls, also does remote assistance. You can find Dr. Mac on Facebook or by calling 530-386-2616 and by Members First Credit Union, created by the community for the community. Members First is a member-owned, not-for-profit financial institution providing checking, savings, loans, credit cards to all residents of Butte, Glen, Shasta, and Tehama counties. For more information, visit m-1-capital-c-capital-u.org. And I'm going to tell you this, too, that the opinions voiced on this program do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of KZFR, its staff, volunteers, board of directors, or underwriters. And I'm going to do my best to get a song on here. And the song is going to be Dr. Wu by Steely Dan. And then next up is Beatle Nation. So hang on here.
Katie tried. I was halfway crucified. I was on the other side.